Welcome to the Whole Hog Podcast.
My main concern is I just want to do the best damn job I can for the University of Arkansas.
I got a question for you though, Scotty. You know that there's other players on our team besides Desi.
Look where we slated. Look at what we've done the past 2 years and who we've got. Like, it's the greatest opportunity in the nation.
Man, why not Arkansas?
Now, here's your host, Seth Campbell.
Welcome into the Whole Hog Reaction Podcast. Seth Campbell joined via Zoom with Scotty Bordelon. And, well, Scotty, a 21-14 win will sure get you excited, especially when you break a 20-game SEC losing streak. And along with it, it's been over a thousand days since you've won a game. The Razorbacks got to be feeling pretty good about themselves this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I think you saw a continuation of Arkansas's defense just playing really well. Just what you saw in the first half against Georgia, you saw essentially four quarters against Mississippi State. And Barry Odom's game plan was really cut and dry. And Sam Pittman said that the game plan looked good on Monday. And then, you know, 5 days later, it looks like a little tally in the win column, which is awesome for Barry Odom, just his second game here. But rush 3, drop 8, and just force KJ Costello to be a dink and dunk quarterback, which he doesn't want to be. So he got a little bit impatient and he ended up throwing 3 picks. So game plan worked to essentially perfection, and Arkansas's offense did just enough. I mean, they put the defense in some bad, bad spots, you know, but credit to that defense, man. There's some really mentally tough dudes on that side of the ball.
Yeah, you got to take your hats off to the defense for the situations, like you said, that the offense put them in, but they didn't break. They just bent a little bit, but that bend don't break worked out really well. If you would have told anybody after Mississippi State went into LSU, Costello throws for over 623 yards, if you would have told them that the next game they're playing Arkansas, they hadn't won a game, an SEC game in 20 games, and they were only going to score 14 points, I don't think anybody would have believed you. But Barry Odom pulled that off.
Yeah, I think if anybody watched our pregame show from Friday, I mean, I would have told anybody that they were crazy. Like, I was saying that KJ Costello is not going to throw for 600 yards again. He may never, ever do that again. But I thought he was going to throw in the 350 to 400-yard range, throw several touchdowns, and – you know, just kind of expected Arkansas to have like a typical Arkansas type defensive showing, like that we've kind of been accustomed to. But I mean, I don't think we can think like that anymore. Like, Barry Odom is essentially making just unbelievable strides with the same cast of guys that was here last year under John Chavis. There was just no direction. And the game, like, the plan's just really clear. The guys are motivated. And you can tell they believe. Like, the coaching staff believes in these kids. The kids believe in the coaching staff. And the big thing is the kids believe in themselves too. And so it's not just the coaches believing in them. There's a belief amongst those guys. And you can really see it on the defensive side of the ball. Like, especially with Bumper and Grant. I mean, Grant, he's playing with basically one arm. Like, after the first of the second quarter, that misses on Saturday, and he still ends up with 15 tackles. I mean, there is an undeniable will to win on that defensive side of the ball. And I think some of the guys on offense obviously have it too, but this team is being led by its defense right now, and that is 180 degrees from where I thought Arkansas would be at this point. I had more questions, and I think a lot of people did, about the defensive side of the ball going into the season. But, I mean, I think all the concerns for me anyway are offensively. It's like, can you stop shooting yourself in the foot and putting this defense in bad spots and get them off the field and get them a little bit of rest? It's been pretty remarkable to watch through 2 weeks.
Yeah, without a doubt, the defense showing up in a big way. And you're exactly right. There were definitely more question marks going into the season on the defensive side than on the offensive side. But on the offensive side now, there are a lot of those question marks. Before we go into that offense, and I want to get into just a little bit of Bumper Pool's quotes. I thought he said some really good stuff after the game against Mississippi State. But before we get into both of those, Scotty, you've covered the Razorbacks for a little while now, always been a big fan. Best defensive performance since when?
That's a good question. Maybe since Arkansas went to Mississippi State and like narrowly lost at Mississippi State, like when Bulldogs were number one in the country. Like, I don't know if it goes back that far, but I mean, best in a long time.
I mean, some things that come straight to my mind are the two back-to-back shutouts when they were breaking their last SEC losing streak between LSU and Mississippi. And Mississippi was a pretty good school. I believe they had Bo Wallace, correct?
Okay. Yeah.
Good Bo, bad Bo. And there's a lot of bad Bo.
Yeah, he was bad Bo that day.
And I think it really harkens back to those two games. And I don't know which is a better performance. Yeah, Arkansas didn't give up any points in either one of those games, which is an impressive feat in and of itself. But at the same time, you're coming off an offense that just looked unstoppable. And to hold them to 14 points, to get the crucial stops that you did, and basically to win the game. And those other games, the defense was a major factor. In the Ole Miss game, I believe the offense scored 30 points, though. And then in the LSU game, which I think it was 17. So, like, the defense was a bigger factor in that LSU game. But, like, you don't win that game without your defense coming up with big stops time after time in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think Matt may have tweeted after the game or wrote it on the message board that it's easily Arkansas's best defensive performance in 5 years. I don't think there's any doubt about that. There's not one particular defensive showing in the last 5 years that just jumps out at me. So that tells me that it probably goes back that far. But you just got, I mean, Greg Brooks right off the bat just jumps the ball, takes it to the house. That kind of sets the tone defensively. And KJ Costello didn't learn from that mistake, really. Like, he's got too impatient sometimes. And you saw that on his last two picks that he threw to Joe Fouché. Like, Joe Fouché is a guy, didn't play a whole lot in the opener, didn't start in week two. And, you know, he's a guy that's kind of trying to battle and fight his way back into a starting job. And it'd be pretty tough if I was the coach to keep him out of the lineup going forward. I mean, Joe Fouché can make some big plays. I mean, he can make a quarterback regret throwing a pass like Costello threw a couple times last night. He was running down the field, caught it, kind of spun at the same time, and then the other pick would have been good in the NFL. Like, he just great field awareness to know where the sideline was. That was a huge turnover. And then he's getting into the backfield on third and fourth downs, which is, I mean, he's a big body safety, and you like that. I mean, he's a physical guy. And he two picks, two assisted tackles last night. All four of the plays that he made that showed up in the box, in the stat sheet, were enormous. And you just got big contributions from a lot of guys. It's not just Bumper and Grant, who had 35 tackles between them. It's Jalen Catalan too. It's Fouché. Zach Williams keeps showing up. Man, Sam Pittman's loving what he's getting from Zach Williams. You're getting tons of great contributions from a lot of guys, and that's what it takes right now.
Bumper Pool said in the post-game press conference that they were just so prepared. He said he never felt more prepared going into a college football game. He also didn't want to, I guess, quote unquote, give away their secrets about the teams that they emulated. But I believe if you're a pretty big college football fan, you can kind of go back and see what was the biggest games that Washington State, Mike Leach's former employer, played in over the past few years. That'd be the Apple Cup, you know, the cross-state rivalry. And if you look at Peterson and the Washington Huskies, they basically did what Barry Odom did and the Arkansas defense did. Rush three, drop eight. Just play zone. And Bo Pelini in the LSU defense just, I guess, were too stubborn to go play zone, Scotty. But I really think that if you look at that Washington defense, Arkansas emulated them and emulated them to perfection. And like I think Sam Pittman said, it's a copycat league. There's going to be a lot of teams that are copycatting what Arkansas did against Mississippi State.
Yeah, I don't know why more coaches don't just dig into the game film. Like, don't go and look at what LSU did and then just say, hey, man, we can't do that. Go find the game film of a defense shutting down more or less that air raid offense and just take little bits and pieces of what they did. I mean, I think that was brilliant. And my thing is, you're coming off the Georgia loss, and Sam Pittman said by Monday that the game plan was looking really good already. And so evidently it didn't take Barry Odom very long to figure out, like, hey, man, this is what we got to do. And I think Dave Matter, who covers Missouri for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I think he said when Barry Odom and Mike Leach's teams have met in the past, I think Odom's defense gave up, like, on average in three games, like 21 points per game. There it is. He just held them to 14. So shout out to Barry Odom. That's how you scout. That's how you game plan for one particular team. You don't say, hey, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to go do it despite what the other team might be doing. Game plan for that specific team and nail down your game plan specifically to stop what they're doing. I mean, that was textbook. That was big-time game plan from Barry Odom.
Yeah, it definitely was for him and his defense to step up. Everybody in the state of Arkansas definitely singing Barry Odom's praises.
Yeah, they want to catch you outside the stadium already. 2 weeks in. Hey,
2 weeks in. That's what happens, though, when you have a fan base so starved for an SEC win and just any kind of success, and then you finally see it. The videos that you saw from Dixon Street on an away game during COVID, people are just trying to celebrate anything they can, and Arkansas gave them something to celebrate Saturday against Mississippi State. Looking forward now, everybody's been focusing on Barry Odom's defense, which honestly they need to, but on the other side of the ball, it took a defensive touchdown in order to give Arkansas this game, and the 7 points coming in clutch with Arkansas only scoring 14 on the offensive side. Two games in, eight to go. Are you getting a little worried, Scotty, about the Arkansas offense?
I don't know. I mean, in a way I am, because I just looked at Arkansas's cumulative stats through 2 weeks, and your top guys in terms of all-purpose yards are Davion Warren and Traylon Smith. Like, who would have expected that? Like, Rakeem Boyd's, obviously, he wasn't himself in week one because there was nowhere to run. Georgia's defensive line was – and their front seven was way too good, and then he gets injured in week two, and we don't really know what his availability looks like. And then Treylon Burks goes down a little bit early in week two also. And, you know, those are two guys that you need to have moving forward to continue to try to carry this momentum into a pretty big game, I'd say, upcoming. But what you're seeing on offense too is on Saturday, sometimes they can't get out of their own way. And then other times, you know, you're getting big time contributions from a guy like Trey Knox gave you something. Traylon Smith, I thought was really good in a backup role. And Davion Warren played the game of his life, I think. And so in a way it's concerning because maybe not all of your top guys are healthy or, you know, just going out and playing like they want to. But there are other times when, you know, you finally got something from Hudson Henry, which is great. And then, like I said, Davion Warren, and just you're getting good contributions. But they've got to – the offensive line, I thought, was a little bit better in terms of pass protection. Run game, the blocking in the run game's got to continue to get better. A little bit concerning. I mean, Auburn's defense is going to be really good. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They're always pretty stout on defense. So we'll see what kind of wrinkles Kendall Browse comes up with. I mean, I think they're going to need something. I would think that, you know, 24, 28 points might get you a win at Auburn.
Yeah, especially if Auburn keeps up their offensive firepower that they've had under their new offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's sputtering. I think that would be the way to put it.
You either got speed or you're chasing it, and Auburn's been chasing it a lot recently. But Scotty, looking at last night's game, haven't gotten to go back and look at any film or anything, but it did seem like if you want to take some positives away on the offensive side of the ball, not as many pre-snap movements, not as many guys not knowing where to line up. That looked like a positive. Now, whether or not that is mainly because the guy in the backfield, which was a lot of the time the guy being moved around, really didn't play a whole lot. And I'm obviously talking about Rakeem Boyd. That you don't know. But that's an improvement. I thought the offensive line did look better. They're not really good yet, but they looked better than they did against Georgia. They got a little bit of push. Traylon Smith actually had a few running lanes. Arkansas was able to run the ball a little bit, and that's going to be key for Arkansas, especially when they want to play that base tight end running back formation, 11 personnel. They want to run that, and if they want to run that personnel, then you're going to have to be able to run the ball. That's going to be a key factor in their next 8 games, and I believe that if Arkansas can run the ball, it sets up everything else, and that's really what Briles' offense is predicated upon. Those are some of the positives. Now, looking at the negatives, you do want your offensive line to be a little bit better, but if they keep going on the trajectory that they're going, then you might see a serviceable offensive line by, kind of midway before you hit some games that could be winnable in your schedule before you play teams like Ole Miss. But it's one of those things that you just want to keep seeing improvement on. Keep harping on the offensive line. But the other thing is injuries. I don't like to say that one guy is more important than another guy because every single athlete that Arkansas has is important. They don't have enough of them. They don't have enough speed. As we just said with Chad Morris saying, you're either chasing speed or you got it. And Arkansas doesn't have just a ton of speed. But with the injuries gone, I would have to say that Burks is a key factor because Smith – kind of showed that he can fill in for Boyd. Now, you want Boyd back, and Boyd's an electric running back. But Smith sets up so many other things and gets other wide receivers open in the secondary that Arkansas is just having a tough time without him in the game. Pardon me, I said Smith. I meant Burks. Burks gets people open in the secondary and gets other receivers open that Arkansas receivers are just having a tough time getting off the ball and getting off of defenders against Mississippi State late in the game, in the second half.
Yeah, I think Traylon, if Traylon Burks ends up having to miss any time, I think that's easily your biggest loss. He is, without a doubt, your best playmaker. And I think that kind of reared its head too. And it really would have if Davion Warren hadn't stepped up and made some really big plays. He had 4 catches, career high 100 yards, and the second touchdown of his career. All 4 of his, I think his first catch went for a career long, after his first catch of the season went for a career long. And all 4 of his catches either went for a touchdown or a first down. So he was big. But Traylon, if Traylon has to miss time, that's you're without now your most explosive guy before and after the catch. I mean, it's simple as that. And you're going to need guys like Traylon or Trey Knox and Mike Woods made a pretty good play after the catch at Mississippi State. You need more of that from him, and you need less of what you saw late in the game, just a temper flaring when you really didn't need.
Oh, my really goodness.
Didn't need that. And I think Sam Pittman maybe put a little bit of fear of God in him a little bit. It's like, hey, man, like that just cannot fly. Like, we're trying to get out of here with a win, which we haven't had since you've been here. So don't be behaving like this. You need to be team centric and focused on what we're trying to get done here. Yeah, I think Traylon Smith, his play was encouraging. And I think, I mean, a lot of people are saying that I think he fits Kendall Briles' offense probably a little bit better than Rakeem Boyd, maybe. But Rakeem Boyd's an all-SEC caliber back. Like, you would love to have both of those guys back. Just got to wait and see what the injury report is, man. Like, it's long. I mean, Grant Morgan may have finished the game the other night defensively, but there is no telling how that left arm is feeling today and how it's going to feel on Monday. And then as you're trying to get ready to play another super physical team in the league, probably going to want to try to run the ball a lot, considering that Arkansas has given up a few yards on the ground. And then Buster Brown, what's his status? Like, is Hudson Clark going to have to fill in again? I don't know. I don't know that I would be super comfortable with that. I kind of wanted to see, I thought Kari Johnson might be a guy that got some playing time instead of Hudson Clark, but he did a pretty good job. Sam Pittman was really proud of him. They had a meeting before the game talking about who was going to play, and Barry Odom and Sam Carter, like, this guy's going to play regardless of, like, he's just going to play and we're going to throw him out there. He's earned some playing time. So that injury report's going to be probably people are going to be really anticipating that, because I think there's a lot of excitement and there's plenty of excitement going up. You're facing a Chad Morris offense, so you feel like you got a shot. And so, I mean, a lot of people feel like that, right? And well, so
you're exactly right.
You want to go into next weekend feeling as good as possible. And so that injury report's going to go a long way toward that.
Yeah, people will be looking out Monday morning, fingers crossed. And we'll have to see as well. You can stay tuned to wholehogsports.com. We will have all of that information for you. And all right, get you out of here on the Reaction Podcast, Scotty, with looking forward to that game against Auburn. A few fans had circled this and, you know, maybe just thought that, yeah, redemption may have to come 2, 3, 4 years down the road against a certain former head coach at the University of Arkansas. It's now an offensive coordinator there. But a lot of fans' hopes are riding high after two less than stellar performances from the Auburn Tigers and two above average performances from the Razorbacks, especially one to where they got their first victory in the SEC since 2017. Initial reactions, initial thoughts, Arkansas Auburn, what does the defense need to do to remain dominant?
I think you need to limit Bo Nix, just explosive plays in the passing game. Auburn's offense is essentially Bo Nix funding Seth Williams, Anthony Schwartz. Anthony Schwartz is like world-class speed. And so you're going to have to contend a little bit with that. Tackling him in open space and kind of accounting for him is going to be a big deal. And Arkansas just can't let Seth Williams go out and moss them like every other play. I think that's going to be big. And, I mean, you slow down Bo Nix a little bit. I think Chad Morris probably starts feeling a little bit of pressure. I don't know that he gets in his own head with his play calling, but certainly that's a game that he won't tell you it's circled, but it is circled for him. Like, that's a big game. He wants to go out and prove himself. So you take away what he wants to do. Who knows? It's going to be a really interesting ball game. And then offensively, you just got to not shoot yourself in the foot. Like, you're going up against another really good defense, and mistakes need to be at a minimum, regardless whether you're playing away or at home. But Arkansas has got to take better care of the football than what it did and limit kind of those shoot yourself in the foot mistakes.
Yeah, Arkansas did a good job, a much better job than they did against Georgia in the Mississippi State game of limiting mistakes. Now, you didn't have the interceptions, but now moving forward, you want to make sure that, you know, you're limiting your penalties, especially your pre-snap penalties if you're Arkansas. And those are the kind of the things that you're mentioning that can definitely shoot yourself in the foot.
There too, with like the, when you're running the jet sweep in the backfield, I mean, there's got to be some kind of communication or some kind of cue that, like, hey, I'm going to hand you the ball off, or hey, I'm just going to stick it in your gut and then I'm going to pull it out and then I'm going to hit a guy downfield. Like, you just got to clean those things up, because Auburn's defense is just talented enough to really capitalize on those mistakes.
Yeah, this might be another game where Arkansas gets lucky if they score 21, 28 points again. You're just kind of banking on your defense, hopefully being able to come up with a stop, something I definitely never thought I would utter in 2020. All right. Well, Scotty, thanks so much for joining us.
Yep. Good to see you again.
Yeah, man. Well, for Scotty, I am Seth Campbell saying so long. Make sure to stay tuned to the Whole Hog Podcast wherever you are listening to us right now. You can subscribe there. Listen to us as podcasts come out on Friday, previewing the next week's opponent. So we will have an Auburn preview with Scotty, with Matt Jones. We'll have some Auburn analysis in there as well. Those podcasts drop on Friday morning, so make sure to subscribe wherever you are listening to us right now. Well, for our entire WholeHogSports.com crew, I am Seth Campbell. Thanks so long. We'll see you back here next week.